Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no, no, no. And it's hard to smile through trials. No, we cannot see every pitfall, but we must walk on by faith each day. Oh Lord, oh, on Monday. And on Tuesday,
walk on,
oh,
let
Jesus
be,
let him be
your
God.
Ooh.
He can carry
your load,
and he can see
way.
Want to drive with us? Yeah.
Oh, on Monday.
Walk on.
And on Tuesday.
Walk
on. Oh,
let
Jesus
be.
I like that song right there. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's from the movie Mississippi Burning. And I had really never heard that before. And then I heard it, you know, after the movie was ending, well, you know, when it was going off. And I really enjoyed it. And I said, I'm going to play that on the show. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We thank God for another day. Thank God that I'm back. Yesterday I had technical difficulties. I could not get my computer up. The password, I couldn't remember it. And I think what happened is somewhere I had a virus, and it moved the folder of where my password was that would log me in. So I had to create a whole nother account. And it wouldn't do that at one point. I worked all day. I didn't get this done until maybe around 7-ish last night. I completed it, and I thank God I'm able to be on this morning. Hallelujah. We should have too many more problems. And I thank God. I thank God. But every now and then, you know, something come up because the phone is a machine, the computer is a machine, the internet is, you know, it's not human. And even if it was, we still would have some type of problem because we're not perfect. Hallelujah. And so we thank God this morning that we're back. And I'm grateful unto him. And today we'll be going in with Bishop G. Patterson's recorded message, A Father and Two Sons. And so we'll be tuning in for that. But let's pray this morning, and after prayer, we're going right in with Bishop Patterson. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you this morning. Thank you for another opportunity, Father, to come before you this day. And, Father, to bring your people before you. And I ask, Lord, that you would bless every family represented here today. And, Lord, bless those that are coming through the archives. Father, we ask today that you would move by your spirit in a mighty way for these your people. In the name of Jesus, we know that there's nothing too hard for you to do. And Father, you have all power. There's no higher power. And we know today that you're on our side and that you're for us. and you're more than the whole world against us. We thank you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, this morning we bring those that are sick before you and ask that you would heal today as only you can do. Lord, we know you're able, and we believe you're willing this morning to heal those that are not well, God. We know that you know what's best for them. You made the body, and Lord, that body can line up with your word. Do it today in the name of Jesus. So, Father, if you touch, hallelujah, they will be healed. We bring this morning before you, God, Catherine, and we bring Dennis before you. And, Father, we know that you know what's best for these your people. And we ask this morning that you would heal in the name of Jesus. Father, you made the both of them. You know their bodies inside and out. And, God, we ask today that you would touch in a mighty way. And, Lord, I ask that you would strengthen Karen as her husband's going through. Lord, strengthen her in this hour. And, Father, the reason I said they is because they are one, they are husband and wife. And, Lord, I ask this morning that you would move through this family like never before in the name of Jesus. Lord, move in the healing, ha, today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask that you would bless Sister Dot for bringing the prayer request that we could pray for this family in the name of Jesus. Move by your spirit. And, Father, we remind you about her niece today that, Lord, we ask all will go well with her and that, God, she would be more than all right. She would be better than she was before she fell. Father, do it today in the name of Jesus. Remember Brother Louis. Remember Sister Sherry today. Father, remember Brother Glenn. Lord, we ask that you would heal today in the precious name of Jesus. You know what's best for these your people. And God, you got all power. Hallelujah. Move today like you have never moved no other day since the day that they was born. In healing, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and all the praise this morning. And Father, we bring those that are incarcerated and in every branch of the military, those that went to the military and didn't return back the way that they went in, oh God, we ask that you would remember children this morning. And Father, bless every Blog Talk host teaching and preaching Jesus, leading others to you through your Son. This day, Father, we ask that you would do it in the name of Jesus. Bless this segment of Jesus in the morning. Have your way here today, oh God, and feed us until we want no more. And Father, wherever Sister Patterson may be today, Father, we ask that you would bless this woman. Move by your spirit to encourage her today, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you. We give you glory, honor, and praise, and we ask it all again in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So we're moving right along this morning, and we're going straight in with Bishop Patterson. And when we come back, well, we'll go to one more quick song. I can do this for you this morning. And after we come back from the song, then we'll just go right straight in with Bishop G.E. Patterson and just move on from there. I'm looking. I don't want anything too long because we want to just go right in with Bishop and come out. All right, let's go to this one.
Mighty Grill, put your hands together. Thank you. my friends. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war.
Nothing I got, devil. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. So we're grateful unto Almighty God this morning, and we thank him for coming again, and he's blessing us to get back online and all of this, and all is well, and we just can't help but thank him this morning. Good morning to you, Sister Rita. Good morning to you, area code 347. God bless you this morning. Sister Dot Goodman, God bless you, Sugar. Thank you for the prayer request for Karen and Dennis. God bless you. God bless you. And Denise, I thank God for prayer requests because it blessed us to pray for others. And how many know what you're praying about for other people? God will bless you, that you won't have the same problem, or that if you got it, he'll fix yours. Yeah, you don't have money, pray for others to get money and watch what happened to you. You don't have a house, pray for others to get a home and watch what happened to you. Yeah, you're not sick, but you know somebody that's sick. Pray for the sick person and watch God keep your body healed. Hallelujah. So we thank him this morning for hearing and answering our prayers. And this morning we want to go right in with Bishop Patterson and listen to his message today, A Father and Two Sons. And I started to listen to it last night, but I got a little sidetracked, so I wasn't, you know, quite able to finish the message. So I don't know the entire message, but I know the majority of it. And I'm just so glad, that God blessed me that we can find the word on the internet. I know a lot of people like other stuff, and yeah, I do too. I enjoy different things, but I prefer the word, to listen to that more than anything else, because that will bless us 100%. Oh, yeah, it will bless us, and so I'm grateful for the word of God. I'm looking, and I'm moving right on as I'm talking. We're about to get in with it, but I just want to find the right message. and bring that right message on today. And I got to admit this morning, I am a little tired. Yes, I am. And I know as the weekend, we'll feel that. You know, we'll feel a little more pressing, a little more tired. And so, but it's okay. It's okay. We're moving right along. We're going to do what God will have us to do and keep it going. So let's go in and take a listen to this one. And when he's done.
Labels in the name of the Roman government money that he.
Hold on. I got 2 foot out. That's the part I stopped at listening to last night. And so I had to take it all the way back. But we're going to continue on. With Bishop G.E. Patterson.
Dear fathers, thank you for the men whose hearts you have stirred. And there has been a tremendous exodus of brothers away from the church. But thank you, Lord, that we are living in a day when we're experiencing a reversal of that trend. I want to thank you, because as you bring the men back to Jesus, you can set this world aright. Now, Lord, I pray that every man and every woman, every boy, every girl, that shall hear your word on today, that they will be stirred, that the devil will be rebuked. Hallelujah. Anoint these lips of clay and allow us to speak as an oracle of Christ and not as a man. Hide us behind your glorious cross and cover us with your precious blood. Allow no flesh to glory in your sight. We give you praise and we give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give God another hand of praise and you may be seated. I shall get immediately into the Word of God, and I want you to turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 15. I want to share with you the same basic message that we delivered to the Lord's people at the 8 a.m. worship in our Whitehaven location. Luke chapter 15, verse 11. If you have that, say amen. I want you just to read aloud with me this one verse, but allow your Bibles to remain open for further references. Luke 15, verse 11. Let's read aloud together. And he said, a certain man had 2 sons. That's it. I want to talk to you about a father and his 2 sons. Father and his 2 sons. This story is a very familiar one, even to many persons who are not necessarily Christians or habitual churchgoers. If my memory serves me right, I believe that the great poet James Weldon Johnson, one of the treatments that he did was on the prodigal son. And in that, there is a line that says, young man, your arms are too short to box with God. This has been referred to through the years as the parable of the prodigal or the wasteful son. It is possibly in your Bible, a heading that says Parable of the Prodigal Son. But if you take the time to actually read the text, it is not called a parable. nor is he called the prodigal son. It is true that he was prodigal, he was wasteful, but he was not only wasteful. He had a few other problems. But the story is not limited just to the young son that left home. This story involves also the elder brother, and it also involves the father. There is reference to other characters, but these three are the main characters in the story. If you would really get the true significance, the real essence of what our Lord is saying here, you must first of all understand that this is only one part of a three-part answer to the religious people of his day. The chapter opens with our Lord Jesus in a certain place. And the very first verse tells us that many publicans, and the word publicans referred to the tax collectors, who were certainly hated in Israel, because although they were men of Israel, they were agents of the Roman government who had been given the assignment to collect taxes from their own people. And they didn't have very much in the way of guidelines. The more that they collected, the more would be available for them. And most of the publicans got very rich. Well, I think you'd understand that from the story of Zacchaeus that went up into the sycamore tree to see the Lord because he was short in stature. And when the Lord told him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down for the day. Salvation is to be in your house. And when Jesus looked upon Zacchaeus, his conscience was convicted, and he said, Lord, if I have done anything, if I've taken anything from any man unjustly, I'll restore back to him. And he gave him a large percentage. It was either 25% or 50% that he said he'd give back. That simply meant that Zacchaeus knew that he had collected from a whole lot of his neighbors in the name of the Roman government money that he shouldn't have collected, and while collecting the taxes, he got rich in the process. So understand that the publicans were looked upon by most of the men of Israel as really highway robbers, that they were people who didn't mind taking from you, whether your children had anything to eat, didn't matter. So the publicans and the other sinners, these people drew near to hear what the Lord had to say. And the religious folk, who are characterized by the scribes and Pharisees, instead of them applauding and saying, look, Jesus has a magnetism, an anointing upon his ministry, that even these sinners that won't come to the synagogue, they come to hear him. Praise be unto God. But that was not their reaction. Their reaction was, look at this. Hear this prophet from Nazareth. He's got all of these sinners around him. And they said it as a word of criticism. This man receiveth sinners. And Jesus had to tell them on numerous occasions that the Son of Man came not to save those that were already saved, but he came to seek and save that which was lost. And I don't know about you, but when I look over this congregation today, I think that every one of us in here can thank God that Jesus receives sinners. If he didn't receive sinners, we wouldn't be here. Oh, I don't care about what you say. I never did this, and I never used dope, and I didn't sell my body, and I didn't do this, and I didn't do that. I don't care what you didn't do. You did enough to go to hell. Every last one of us did enough to be lost. And all I can say today is thank God that he receives sinners. Every one of us in here, we may be saved today, but don't forget, you weren't always saved. People, you turn up your nose at and won't speak to. Thou but for the grace of God go you, and thou but for the grace of God go me. Hallelujah. Now, this choir was singing, but God. Apostle Paul talks about what we were, aliens from the covenant of promise, and he builds up and stacks up a whole lot of negative things and saying that that would be every one of us. But the difference in our life is God. And I thank God that we live in the enlightened day of Scripture. I don't mean to criticize Roman Catholicism, but to be a saint in the Catholic Church, you've got to be dead at least 100 years. And then you are beatified. And if you're beatified, that means that you're at least on the eligible list. And the Pope and some other folk will have to decide 100 years after you are dead whether you are eligible to be a saint. But oh, I thank God that right where I stand, I'm sanctified. Hallelujah. Something that nobody else had to vote on. Just Jesus and me, we got it together. And I want you to know it doesn't matter who you are, what you're doing right now, glory to God, you can be a saint. And all you got to do is give your life to Jesus Christ, and it doesn't matter what you have done, there's not a stain of sin that is so black that the blood of Jesus won't wash it out. Your sins may be as scarlet, but he'll wash you. May be as crimson, but he said they'll be like wool. So you would think that these Pharisees and scribes, they would rejoice over the fact that this man Jesus has the ability to draw in sinners that they could not affect. I was sitting there this morning watching television, and when I saw Bishop Paul Morton and the large facility there down in Louisiana, what am I trying to say, the Superdome, and I had the experience of preaching last year on opening night. And opening night, they had 30,000 people that grew to about 50,000. And then behind that was a promo of Bishop Jakes, and behind that was a promo of Bishop Jesse Ellis. And all across this nation, there are men that God is raising up. And these men are drawing thousands, multiples of thousands to the Lord. And don't you think that all of Christianity is happy? You got some folk with their mouth poked out. I don't know how the Lord made choice of it, but our church, the Church of God in Christ, we're celebrating this year 100 years. And I am the only preacher in the Church of God in Christ in 100 years that the Lord has ever put on worldwide television. And don't you think that all the saints are shouting and happy? A lot of the saints are shouting and happy, but a lot of the leaders are like the scribes and the Pharisees. You know, what do you think he's doing up there? Trying to win souls for Christ. You know, people aren't always happy when God puts an anointing on your life. But there are some folk that God has chosen for certain times and for certain ministries. And it doesn't matter how many folk get jealous. If God has chosen you, nobody can do what God has chosen you to do. Here they are. This man, look at all them sinners. And Jesus, in his unique way, he didn't just try to tell them, you know, well, I mean, after all, you fellas couldn't get to him, so the Father sent me. Jesus said, no, I'll just give them this truth in three stories. And the first story he talks about was that of lost sheep. He talks about a shepherd that had 100 sheep. 99 of them were dwelling in safety, but one of them went astray. That's only 1 out of 100. That's only 1%. But it doesn't matter how much of a minority you think you are. And the devil can always put a spotlight over it and make you think, my circumstances are different from everybody. You know, all of the other fellas have their father and mother, but here I don't have a dad at home. Some will say, well, I don't have a dad or mother. I was raised in an orphanage. And here's somebody else. The devil will make you think that your little set of circumstances are unique and nobody has had to go all together through what you are going through. But I'm here to tell you, you may be only 1% or less. God doesn't care how much of a minority you are. Jesus said that shepherd left the 99 in a safe place and he went out and sought for that one lost sheep. Aren't you glad that the Lord didn't say, I got enough folk all over this world? Let him or let her go on and do that thing. I don't care if they're not saved. But Jesus said, the Father, in other words, sent me all the way from the hallelujahs of the angelic hosts and the seraphims and cherubims and archangels in heaven. And I came here looking for that one lost sheep. Oh, hallelujah. Then he goes from the story of the lost sheep to tell us about a woman that had 10 pieces of silver. And she lost one out of the 10. Well, that's becoming a little more. That's one out of 10. That's 10%. God doesn't care if you're in the 1% or less or if you're in the 10% crowd. This woman with 9 pieces of silver, she started spring house cleaning. She started sweeping. She started moving stuff. And she would not be contented until she found that one piece of silver. They're still sitting there with their mouth open. Where in the world is he going? We up here talking about folk, and he talking about sheep, talking about silver. And then Jesus says, let me bring you to my final story. A certain man had 2 sons. And it was the younger son that says to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Now, as a youngster coming up, that thing, it bothered me. I said, now, under normal circumstances, one does not receive anything from his father until the father dies, and then it's willed to him. But this boy, while he's still alive, he seemingly has an idea on what he's supposed to have. And so I checked out something back here in the Old Testament, and I found that there was a provision in the scripture that if a man were married and he had 2 wives, and brothers, let me again hasten to remind you, I don't care how much of this you read in the Old Testament, the 2-wife idea is for yesterday. Yesterday, that does not apply to today. Amen. So when he says that, I believe this is in Deuteronomy chapter 19, and it says here that if any man, that's not really the one that I want you to look at. I've got a number of things marked here because there are some things that I think I need to just touch on real quickly. In chapter 21, verse 15, it says, if a man have 2 wives, one beloved and another hated, and they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated, huh? And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, then it shall be when he maketh his sons to inherit that which he hath, that he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn before the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. I think this boy was a student of the law. And that he realized that Big Brother was probably the son of an another wife. Somebody's going to say, he can't prove that. You can't prove I'm wrong either. And the younger boy knew that most of the money and the land was going to be inherited by the older brother anyhow. And I wouldn't doubt that big brother didn't keep telling him, I got the lion's share, boy. You're not going to get that much. So the younger boy told his dad, said, give me mine now. Let me go. And he took what his father gave him. And the Bible says he went into a far country. Young man, young woman, I want to tell you something. You don't have to go to China to be in a far country. You don't have to leave the United States to be in a far country. Jesus spoke in spiritual terms. And you can walk right out of the door where you live, or right out of the door of this church. And if you have been taught the word of God, when you get outside of the jurisdiction of the word of God, you are in a far country. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. This young man left, went into a far country, and joined himself to a citizen of that country. If you were not brought up to be a drug user, if you were not brought up to be an abuser of other individuals and mistreating other folk, if you were not brought up to live a sin life, you came up in a godly home where you were taught the word of God, and you get out there with that crowd that's talking about the fact, why get a job when all we need are a couple of pistols and we can get anything we want? And you join yourself to somebody who doesn't believe in the principles of righteousness. You join yourself to a citizen of a foreign country. And I don't care if you're across the waters or across the street. When you get away from the area that is ruled by the word of God, you are in a far country. He went out and joined himself to a citizen of that country, wasted his substance. And I want you to know that many of our young people, you've got it down in you. Parents put it in you. And that's what I love about the word in Proverbs, train up the child in the way it should go, so when he is old, he will not depart from it. It doesn't mean that that child will not stray. But if you've got godly principles down on the inside, you may drift a little bit, and you may get involved in some situations that you shouldn't be involved in. But if the word of God has ever been put in you, hallelujah, the word of God is like a hook that catches the fish in the gill. And the more he tries to get away, the tighter the hook holds. And while you're trying to get away, if God put it down in you, if your parents put it down in you, you may run like the fish through the bushes and the trees and under the log, but I want you to know the thing that's in you is going to bring you home one day. And that's why I need to say a word to your parents, that if you've been holding on for your child and look like he's not going to turn back to the church, look like she's bidding the church goodbye, and I don't ever want any parts of it anyway, I want to tell you, don't stop praying, for the Lord is nigh. Don't stop praying. He will hear your cry, for the Lord has promised, and his word is true. If you keep on praying, I'm here to tell you that God will answer you. I think you ought to just get up and tell somebody, maybe your child today is in a far country, but I want you to know, if you keep on praying, God will answer your prayer. Shortcuts here. After this young man had wasted his life, He ended up hungry. He ended up in the swine pen. But he came to himself. Young man is trying to come to yourself. You thought you wanted to try another lifestyle. But that fast crowd you've been moving with, they brought you into drugs. They brought you into liquor. They brought you into homosexuality. They brought you now on the brinks of a life of crime. It's time for you to come to yourself. It's time for you to realize, didn't nobody make you what you are? And I think as an ethnic community, it's time out to stop blaming the white man. The white man didn't make you rape your black sister. The white man didn't make you get involved with drugs. You don't hear what I'm saying. It's time to stop blaming everybody else. We look around the world today, and I look, and even the church, leaders in church are confused and don't know which end is up. We are trying to do one thing. We always getting over into the law of Moses to try to explain something that's under grace. Anytime you try to bring the wearing of apparel, the eating of meat, the worship on a certain day, you're trying to bring the law into grace. The law doesn't fit in grace, but the law ought to fit where the law is concerned. Now, preacher, what are you talking about? We saw something happen day before yesterday when the jury sentenced Mr. McVeigh to death. But you got a whole lot of so-called religious leaders. I don't believe in capital punishment. And furthermore, it does not deter crime. But I want you, when you get a chance, to sit down and read from Deuteronomy chapter 19 and read from about verse 11 down to verse 13. Because it says here that a person who murders somebody. Moses is talking about how God gave them these six cities of refuge, that if a man unintentionally killed another man, he could flee to the city of refuge. But if he went to the city of refuge and the men of his village came and told the judge in the city of refuge that that wasn't an accidental slaying, he hated the man. The Lord said that he's to be turned out of the city of refuge and turned over to the authorities of his city, and that this man shall die. Hello, somebody. And the Lord not only said he shall die, but verse 13 said, thine eye shall not pity him. Don't even feel sorry for him. He didn't kill but one man, but don't feel sorry for him. But thou shalt put away this guilt of innocent blood from Israel, that it may go well with thee. And as you keep on reading and get into chapter 21, you will find in 21 and 22 other capital offenses. And God always says that if they do it, kill them. And this will cause others to fear. But you said the statistics say that capital punishment is not a deterrent to crime. Now, who are you going to believe? God or the statistics? When man conflicts with God, the Bible said, let every man be a liar. Let even the ones from the services that gather the statistics, let them be a liar. And let God's word be true. And I don't care what anybody said, if criminals that are running wild today understood that when you willfully murder somebody, that your life is going to be taken, and if it would be done without 10 and 12 years of appeals, and if they didn't let them go free because they said when the police stopped the car and the dead body was in the trunk, it was illegal search and seizure. I don't care if it was illegal, if they found them with the body and know they killed them. Our justice system is gone. grace, but use the law as the law. Oh, y'all don't hear what I'm saying. Sit down, y'all. I was supposed to put that one in when I was talking about the young man and his inheritance being a thing of the law. The law is made for men to fear. Y'all don't hear me. And I don't care how we go running down on my police brutality. Now it's not police brutality. It's everybody scared. Driving down the street and you see another car looking for, oh God, I sure hope they're not fixing to do a drive-by shooting. Get home and see a strange car near your driveway. Want to call a friend, honey, come go home with me. I'm scared to go in there. You don't suppose that we shouldn't have to live the way we live. And I don't care how many programs you come up with. The only thing that is going to shake these who are living a life of crime, we're going to have to find them, and we're going to have to get the word of God down in them. Because I'm here to tell you, rehabilitation without Jesus Christ will not work. The only thing that's going to work is the word of God. This young man joined himself, let me hurry up and get through with this, to a citizen of that country. And when he gone low as he could go, in the hog pen, he came to himself. I don't know who I'm talking to, but somebody watching this on television, it's time to come to yourself. Look at yourself in the mirror and quit blaming everybody else. Come to yourself. Because if you come to yourself, you got a loving father at home. And don't you know that when that boy came to himself and went home, his daddy didn't ask him, where you been? His daddy didn't ask him, what you been doing? His dad didn't ask him, have you hurt anybody? His dad didn't ask him, have you got involved in sexual sins? All that the daddy did was look down the road and saw him coming. And when he saw him coming, hallelujah, he went down the road to meet him. And I want you to know that God, people used to say, if you make one step, God will make two. But if you make one step, God will make 10,000 if necessary. All he want to know is that you are on your way home. And when you start back in his direction, the father is ready to forgive. The boy was trying to tell him, Daddy, I'm sorry. I went out and I wasted my substance. And the daddy wasn't paying him no attention. He just saw his ragged clothes. And I want you to know sin will strip you. He was stripped down to nothing. He left with a raw robe, but he came back in rags. But I heard the father say to the servant, get him another robe. He looked and saw he'd pawned his ring, trying to eat a little while longer. And I heard him say to the jeweler, bring me another ring. And he put the ring on his finger. The boy is still trying to tell his daddy, you know what I did, but daddy didn't care what he did. He just said, you went away, but you're back home. You were dead, but now you're alive. Hey, hey. And then he told the other servant, strike up the band and get the banquet hall ready because my son has come back home. And I just want to tell you, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter if you've been lying in the hog pen. And it doesn't matter who was lying in the hog pen with you. All God wants you to do is come to yourself. When you come to yourself, get up out of the mud and make your way back down the aisle and say, I've wandered far away from God. I'm coming home. Too long the path of sin I have trod, but now I'm coming home. Come in. I'm coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide your arms of love, Lord. I'm coming home. faith that everybody would be in the mood the Father was in, that everybody would have been shouting, that everybody would have been dancing. But Big Brother got near enough to the house to hear the music. Give me some shouting music. He called over the servant. What's going on in there? And he said, your brother's back home. What? I thought he was going to stay where he went. Don't fool yourself. If I had my choice of being the prodigal who ran away and got his head together and came back home, I'd much rather be the prodigal than to be the big brother. Big brother, I ain't never left the church. I ain't never gone nowhere. But you stayed with a bad attitude. You stayed with a vindictive spirit. And you can say what you want to. You got a whole lot of folk talking about, I've been in the church all my life. Everybody come down the aisle. Now, what's she doing up in here? Her reputation is so bad that you didn't even have to go to the party. Everybody talked about her. Everybody talked about him. They even said he was involved in a murder. But God said it don't matter what you've done. My heart is big enough to forgive you. My arms are long enough to enfold you. And my kingdom is wide enough for me to put you to work in it. Turn to somebody and tell them, don't be the big brother. Big brother's a terrible fella to deal with. Hello, y'all. But who is it that brings it all together? The Father. Woo! The Father, he told the big brother. See, number one, you don't have no business getting angry, big son. He said, because everything that I have is yours. I think it goes back to what I told you. He was getting the lion's share of the inheritance. True. Anytime, if you had wanted a banquet, all you had to do was just tell me. Don't complain that you never had a baby goat killed for your friends and you. If you had wanted a party, all you need to do is tell me. And so many sit up in church for years, and the word of God says in James, you have not because you ask not. A whole lot of things God would have done for you, you just didn't ask. House. And whatever you want, just ask. I'm going to close on this point with the first story he told about the 100 sheep. He said when the shepherd found that one that he lost, he put him on his shoulder. And he went back and told his friends, come on and help me rejoice. I found the lost sheep. Said the woman that lost one coin out of 10 swept till she found it. When she found it, she called the friends. Celebration time. I found my piece of lost silver. When that son came back home, the father said, kill the fatted calf. It's celebration time. I don't want nobody to ever try to turn this house of God into a funeral parlor. Because every time we have church, lost sheep is coming. Somebody who you think is worthless, but they're a piece of silver in God's eyes. Every time they walk down aisle, they're being found. Every time somebody walk in, they may be the lost prodigal son. But God says celebration time. Don't you dare sit there with your arms folded, with your knees crossed, put a smile on your face. God is sending lost sheep, when God is letting lost money be found, when God is sending runaway sons home, it's celebration time. I got something to shout about. Every time a drug addict walks down that aisle, I got something to shout about. Every time a prostitute comes in the side door, I got something to shout about. Every time a backslider comes back home, celebration time. Oh, your celebration time. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you don't believe it's celebration time, go back in your mind to the day when you were the runaway. Go back in your mind to the day when you were the lost sheep. I heard somebody say, oh, the joy that came to me when I knew that I was free, when my Savior found me, put his arms around me. Oh, the joy. I'm trying to quit, but I feel that anointing coming. I never shall forget that day when Jesus washed my sins away. He put running in my feet, clapping in my hands, shouting in my heart, joy in my soul. Ah. Hey. Ah. Oh. Glory. Oh. Glory.
Hallelujah, Bishop G.E. Patterson, and the recorded message of Father and Two Sons, as they just went on and started church. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I thank God for the word of God this morning. And how many know that people won't be happy for you? I used to think that, you know, people would be happy for you. I used to think when I told people I'll be over to your church Sunday, you know, God got a blessing for you. And I thought when I went over and shared what God told me to tell them that was going to make it better for them, I didn't know they wouldn't like you after that. I thought they would be happy to hear from the Lord. But when it's not what they want to hear, many times they are not happy. And then many times in life we come up the ladder, God bless us, and they looking at us as if we blessed ourselves, as if we had the means to bless us. And folk get jealous, and some folk don't like you. They just don't like you because you're doing good, whatever the case may be. But if God be for you this morning, hallelujah, he's more than the whole world against you. And it makes no difference who don't like it. Sometimes folks stray away, But God got a purpose and a plan when he's going to draw them back home. He know what to do to bring the prodigal in. Yeah, he know what to do to bring that son that went out to get a taste of the world. He know what to do to bring him back. Hallelujah. And so we thank God for this morning. We're not going to be here until 9 again this morning. We're going to end early, but we thank God for the word and thank God for prayer this morning. And we just thank God he's on our side today, and all we got to do is reach out and touch him because he's truly passing by. And we often find he's not too busy to hear our hearts cry. Yeah, he's passing by this moment. Our needs he will supply. Just reach out today, hallelujah, and touch God as he's passing by. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray us out this morning, and again, we pray that the Lord bring us back Monday morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, for another episode of Jesus in the Morning. I'm going to get some rest this weekend and be better prepared for next week if the Lord says the same. Hallelujah. But we thank God for blessing us because he has. You know, you may not have all you want. Your bills may not all be caught up or whatever, but yet God is blessing you. You're alive. And as long as we're alive, there's always a possibility. Hallelujah. So let's pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word this morning. Father, we thank you for good gospel music. I thank you this morning for every call and every listener. And Father, I ask today in the name of Jesus, Lord, even in our departing this morning, that Father, you would meet the need in the lives of your people. Father, I ask that you today would pay bills and God, that you would touch and heal bodies and that you would give change of hearts and minds today to your people. Father, I ask today that you would give us a heart and mind to seek you the more, to pray and turn from our wicked ways. And God, to trust you with all our heart and lean not to our own understanding, but to acknowledge you in all our ways. We ask that we would delight ourselves in you in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask this morning that you would bless us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness in the name of Jesus. That, Father, all your many promises and blessings will overtake us in the name of Jesus today. Give us a spirit of praise and worship unto you. For, Father, when we praise you, when we worship you, your blessings come down. We ask for this total weekend, oh, Lord. Do it all through Sunday, God, in the name of Jesus. And bless your people like you have never blessed no other day. Lord, since they were born, bless today. Move in a mighty way. All by your spirit today. In the name of Jesus, we ask. And, Father, we thank you right now. Bless our going out and bless our coming in today, all in the precious name of Jesus. We give you glory. We give you all the honor and all the praise, for you alone are worthy today, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. And, Father, again, we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and hallelujah. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent one from another. In the name of Jesus, go today in love and peace, share the good news of Jesus, and give someone something of quality. God loves a cheerful giver. Have a blessed weekend. I speak the blessings of Almighty God upon you this weekend in Jesus' name. Amen and amen again. So at this time, I'm going to say bye-bye, and again, have a blessed weekend.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.